Read with me 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and we're going to pick up again in verse 6 and read down. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful for your word that we have. Lord, we're thankful that not only did you create us, but you loved us enough to give of yourself to save us. Lord, and not only did you save us from our sins, but you've also keyed us into your thinking process. Lord, who you are and the things that you're doing by giving us your word to be able to read and to be able to study. We do that with that intent this morning, Lord, to know more about you because we love you. We're thankful for the gathering that we have around your word in Christ's name. Amen. So, as you know by now, you're probably used to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. We spent a couple of weeks looking at the issue of the spirit of fear and how that God has not given us the spirit of fear. And we've taken a look at the things that God has given us. He's given us the spirit of power and of love. And love is what we looked at last week. And this week, we're going to look at the issue of a sound mind. Power, love, and of a sound mind. Now, when you have a sound mind, what does that mean? A sound mind is something that is stable, something that is functioning properly. And now, when I say that you have a sound mind, I don't mean that it's functioning properly in the sense that if I gave you a math test, you'd be able to calculate what is 2 plus 2. I mean, that's not the issue of a sound mind. It's in the sense of being able to evaluate truth from falsehood, truth from lie. Bible believers, those specifically operating with a sound mind, are less likely to go along with the flow because we have an absolute standard of truth whereby we are evaluating things against that. You see, the adversary, from the beginning, has attempted to move man away from a sound mind with the attack of lies. Now, when you read 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, and you hear those issues of power and of love and of a sound mind, I've tried to tell you through each lesson how all three of those things are essential for us to function properly as believers. And don't underestimate the importance of having a sound mind. Because as you read through Scripture, and as you learn how our adversary, the devil, operates, his intention is to move you off of a sound mind through his lies. Let me ask you something. How was it that Satan attacked Eve in the garden? Did Satan come over and physically attack her to overpower her and to cause physical harm to her? What was the strategy of our enemy, the devil? You know, he came, if he would have overpowered her, then he would have strengthened Adam and Eve's resolve against him. You know, we don't like when we're overpowered and told what to do, right? That when God did that to Pharaoh, what did it do? It hardened Pharaoh's heart against God. And if Satan would come in and physically tie you up and say, "You have to worship me," what would your response be? But if Satan comes in and subtly attacks the truth and tries to get you to move off of having a sound mind and tries to get you to operate in a realm of falsehood, to operate not in truth, not in how what is God has done for you, not in what God has intended for you, the way in which God has intended for you to live, but if he can corrupt your mind, he can cause you to attack yourself into perpetuity. You will destroy yourself from the inside out through your mind. It makes me think a bit of the saying, you know, if you give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. But if you teach a man how to fish, he'll be able to eat for a lifetime. Well, Satan is interested in corrupting your mind to move you off of truth for a lifetime. Because if Satan can trick you, he can trick you for a day. But if he can move you off of truth, and if he can corrupt your mind, get you not to operate on a sound mind, you'll be corrupted forever. You'll destroy yourself for the rest of your life. You know, people today, they want to blame all of the bad things that they do or all the bad things on Satan. No, you know, Satan can corrupt your mind to the point where you cause yourself enough problems. Satan attacked Eve's mind. Satan is actively attacking yours. Whether you realize it or not, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of how. And so, your mind is a battleground. A constant battleground. This is not something where you pull the artillery out and you win a battle and then you're good for the rest of your life. It is a constant battle against lies, against the adversaries. You know, once you get saved, when Paul is talking to Timothy here, is Timothy a lost man or a saved man? He's a saved man. What is he telling Timothy that he needs? A sound mind. You see, once you get saved, your salvation is set. You have passed from death to life. Christ is, you have been given eternal life. You're a son of God. You've been given a positional status. But the battleground of your mind is not over. Turn to Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew chapter number 22. When the lawyer came to Christ and asked him what was the greatest commandment, do you recall what Christ's answer was? You know, these being good lawyers, we want to keep the law. You know, we want to really perform in our flesh. We want to be righteous. And the answer from Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew 22 and verse number 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." There you see the love and the mind coming into play again, don't you? What is the greatest commandment? Love me. Love me with your heart, and love me with your mind. You know, we have a lot of people in Christianity, if you'll allow me to be negative for a second. We have a lot of people in Christianity who love the Lord their God with their heart, but not with their mind. Christ's life is to be lived out through you, and it is not relegated to niceties. It is not relegated to you just trying to be a nice person and having a loving heart. It is not relegated to you just singing a praise to God without knowing Him in your mind. And herein lies the objection by many, including myself, to modern like praise and worship music. Is there anything inherently wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with saying that God is good over and over again, 80 times in a row. There's nothing inherently wrong with saying that God is good, but this type of singing only engages the heart. It's not a full equation. Where is the doctrine to engage the heart and the mind? The doctrine going into your soul. I just wrote down a verse from Blessed Assurance. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed His own blood for my soul. Now, there is some doctrine that will get you through some things. I think the song that the choir sang, or somebody made a comment, he gives you the song. In times of sorrow, He gives you the song. And sometimes we need a soundtrack because the times are bad. But what is it that you need to get you through the trials of this life? You need something that will not only engage your heart, but something that will engage your mind with the truth of God and not be moved off of that. Because if you don't have the mind, if you don't know the truth, if you're not operating with a sound mind, and the hardships of life come, and your heart says, boy, my heart just isn't in this anymore, what happens? You just go and you follow that unsound mind that's not operating based upon truth. But it'll be much harder to move away from truth when you know it, not only in your heart, but in your mind, and you're operating on that. You know, God wants all of you. He wants your mind too. When he said to love the Lord your God, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. You know, being a scarecrow is not sufficient. You need to be a Dorothy. You need to have a heart and a brain. And not a mind that's at the sacrifice of a heart. You can probably think of people who have a mind, but they've sacrificed their heart, and all they are is knowledge, being puffed up in data and information, but having no wisdom. You see, so I hope you understand, we've dealt with the issue of love last week. And you don't disconnect love from the mind. We're not talking about an intellectual exercise where you come into this church every week and let's get answers 1 through 10 down so that way we can check the boxes and say we know this. You know, this is not an intellectual exercise. This is life. This is God's life living through you. This is how God would have you to live. And so it's not a mind at the sacrifice of the heart. And it's not a heart at the sacrifice of the mind, but the two working together in tandem to create a fully functioning Son of God, able to go out and do the work of the ministry, share the words of light and truth to those with a darkened heart and mind. And so the mind often follows the heart, and the heart often follows the mind. It happens both ways. Turn over to Luke chapter number 8. You're in Matthew. Go over to Luke. So you have to guard. You don't just guard your heart. You don't just guard your mind. You guard both. The two have to function together properly. And that's why they're linked together in Scripture, like they are there in Matthew chapter 22, when you are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind. You know, that might be a law, that might be the greatest commandment, but you know, that's not something that's wrong for us under grace today. That's not something wrong for us who are not under the law but under grace. It's a good thing to love your God. Now, Luke chapter number 8, I want to take a look at a passage here. We're talking about the issue of a sound mind and how you need to have a sound mind that's functioning properly. And I want you to see what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he came into contact with a man who didn't have a sound mind. Luke chapter 8, and look at verse number 26. Luke 8:26. It says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs." Is that man operating on a sound mind? Put some clothes on, get out of the graveyard, get to work, you know, put a roof over your head, get some food to eat. Verse 28, "When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.'" You know, there's something there about the title of not just being called Jesus, but Jesus, the Son of God Most High. Verse 29, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. You know, God will give you the desires of the heart of your heart. I don't care if you're a demon or if you're a person who doesn't want to have anything to do with him. You want nothing to do with God, he's not going to force you to spend eternity with him. Verse 33, Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, I mean, can you imagine being the people who were taking care of the pigs, and you see some demons run into your pigs and what your pigs do? So there's people who see what happens. Those that fed those pigs saw what was done. They fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done. So they went and told the people who were in the city and in the country, and then all these people came out to see what was done, and they came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind. In his right mind. If you want a sound mind, you're going to have to come into a collision course with Christ. You can't get a sound mind by going to Harvard or Yale or Columbia and going to business school and being top of your class. That's not going to give you a sound mind. That'll give you information, that'll give you some knowledge, but it is not going to give you wisdom. It's not going to tell you what truth is. It's not going to change you. It's not going to make you better. You need Christ. There is no sound mind apart from Christ and His revealed Word. Everything that is right is of God. And everything that is not right is not of God. It sounds simplistic, right? Well, it is. When your Creator God is the one who created everything, it's a very simplistic equation. A sound mind helps us not to be overwhelmed in this world. We come to view it through the lens of truth while setting our affections on things above. So when you have a sound mind and you come into the troubles and tribulations of this life, that sound mind that you have allows you to process that information and handle it, knowing who God is, knowing in what He's done for you, knowing the provision that He's made for you, and giving you the hope and the strength to make it through any trial and tribulation. You know, this world will mock and say that, you know, religion is a crutch. I don't like the word religion. We're not a religion. We believe in the truth. But believing the truth is not a crutch. You only have broken legs because you don't believe the truth, you know? A sound mind helps to put everything in that proper perspective. Talking about hymns, it's only a sound mind that could allow the man to write, "It is well with my soul," after losing his family. Only a sound mind would allow you to do that. Only serving a God who you know has given life to your family and the hope of knowing them and seeing them again. Only that sound mind would allow you to process that and then to be able to put pen to paper and say, "It is well with my soul." You know, just like a condenser in an air conditioner, you know, the air flows through a coil, right? And the condenser, it works as the air goes through the tube to conform the air to how it ought to be. So too our mind. impacts every piece of information that comes through our thinking process. Every piece of information, our perception of everything seen, read, or heard, the way that you process that is determined by your mind. Did you turn the TV on this morning to watch the morning news? Did you turn the radio on your way into church this morning? Did you listen to a gospel song on the way into church this morning? You might have had to use your mind to see if it was right doctrine or wrong doctrine. Look, everything you do that comes into you is processed through the coil of your mind. It is important to have a sound mind to process those things properly in accordance with the Word of God and say, this is either good, we'll keep it. This is bad, we'll reject it and take it to the junk heap, you know, of the mind. So you have that air filter going on like an air conditioner. Some people's mind, they view things through a false prism because not everyone has a sound mind. You know that's true because we disagree as people a lot, right? And not just on trivial stuff, but on things that really matter. What is the best way to govern this country? Is our government all in one accord, or are there different opinions about what is right and how to run the country? What about all the churches that are in the area here? Do we all agree on what God's Word says and the doctrine that comes from the book? We don't. Well, someone's got to be right. Well, I take that back. We could all be wrong. But if you disagree, you both can't be right. And so a sound mind is evidenced by the different views that we have. And a sound mind comes from thinking right. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. How is it that you can think right? Do you think right because you're great, because you're knowledgeable? You're able to think right because you're going to be able to have some information that flows from the source of that which is right, Christ. We, Philippians tells us that we have the mind of Christ. Now, we don't always let that mind of Christ operate in us, do we? And by the way, if we don't have the Word of God in our mind to be able to operate, we don't have that truth in there to be able to let the Word of God operate in us and to be able to function properly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, look at verse number 14. 1 Corinthians 2, 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that a powerful statement? You're not left to waller in the, you know, gutters of man's thinking, of natural thinking, of natural philosophy, of humanistic philosophy. We're given the mind of Christ. A mind that knows truth and wisdom, right and wrong, and can discern through the lies and the hypocrisy of this world. We ask how it is that people can believe such absurdities that we're running into in society today. Well, the easy answer as to how you can see such absurd things being perpetuated by our government or people in positions of authority and leadership is because they have a corrupt mind. They don't have a sound mind. They're not operating based upon truth. And so if you're not operating based upon truth, the only way that you're going to get to the right answer is if you're in error. You know the saying that the broken clock is right twice a day? You know, if you're operating in a corrupt mind, you're only going to be right by error, by chance. Romans chapter number 1 tells us that they have denied the knowledge of God. They've denied that truth. They're not operating in a sound mind. And so a sound mind is one that's going to be able to evaluate things properly based upon what God says. Yeah? Faith is saying what God says is true. A sound mind takes what God says that is true and then puts that into yourself. It acknowledges that and operates based upon that. A sound mind is not a one-time thing and then it's over. As I mentioned earlier, it's not just a single battle. The battle for your mind is one that takes place your whole life. And so once you have it, the battle rages on not to be moved off of the sound mind. And that's why I told Jim I appreciated the hymns this morning. Once you have a sound mind, you know, Colossians, you're to be rooted and built up into Him. Why are you to be rooted? Because when the winds blow, you know, Tom was talking about the four winds of the earth in Daniel this morning over the Mediterranean Sea, and when they blow, there's turbulence, there's going to be trouble. But if you're rooted, if you've got an anchor that holds, then you're not going to be moved off. Why does our anchor hold? Why did the writer of that song write those words? It's because when it says, if you look in the verses, it says something about the truth. And so if you have an anchor that is the Lord Jesus Christ that is built upon absolute truth, you know that it's not wrong. And so if you hold to that anchor, you're not going to be moved off of it. I want to share some verses with you. You know, talking about being moved off of a sound mind. When Satan came to Eve in the garden and attacked her, what was it that he attacked? He attacked her mind, and God had communicated something to Adam. And what does Satan come in and say? If they would eat of the tree, God said, "You shall surely die." And what does Satan say? "Ye shall not surely die." God just doesn't want you to be like the gods. He doesn't want you to have these benefits. So he manipulates her thinking process, moves her off of the truth that God had communicated unto her. I want to share some verses. Psalm 16:8 says, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." Now that's later quoted in Acts chapter number 2. "He sets the Lord always before him, I shall not be moved." So then the hymn is written, I shall not be moved, like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Psalm 62:6 says, "He only is my rock and my salvation." He's the anchor. "He is my defense. I shall not be moved." Proverbs 12:3 says, "A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved." What is the root of the righteous? Where does your righteousness come from today? The root of the righteous shall not be moved. The Lord Jesus Christ will be able to sustain you. Colossians 1 verse 23, "If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." Don't be moved away from the truth. Don't go away with those ones that Paul warns Timothy over in 1 Timothy. They're going to come along and they're going to preach. They're not going to preach sound doctrine. They're going to preach a false gospel. They're going to preach false doctrine, not something that says, "Come over and worship Satan," but something that's more subtle, that just takes the truth and twists it a little bit to get you moved off of that and not to function the way that God would have you to function. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. I shared those verses from Psalm with you because the issue there is, if you set God before you, what is your focus? Where is your heart? Where is your love? What are you setting your affections upon? You see, if you set your affections upon the Lord, then you're not going to be moved. But if he's not the centerpiece, if he's just over here in the back, and you pull them out, you know, when it's convenient. Well, I guess I should go to church this Sunday. Let me pull them out from the back seat, polish them off, bring them into the church building with me, you know. When you live your life, you should be centered upon Him. Your thinking process, the way that you go about living your life, you know, church is not just some exercise. This is about you, who you are, who Christ has made you, and how it is that we ought to live. The mind should be always and constantly working in you. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3. Isaiah 26, 3. A sound mind is stayed upon God. Isaiah 26, 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Where's your trust at this morning? Where's your mind? You know, it's important where you place your trust. What are you trusting in? The things you trust in will determine how much peace you have. If you place your trust in your balance at the local savings and trust, you might well be disappointed. You know, I've heard of those and had not quite family members, but friends of family who had money in the bank during the Great Depression, and then they couldn't get it. There are some who don't dare to put their money in the bank. And when I say some, I'm talking about my family down from Eastern Kentucky. They'll take the money, they'll put it in a cookie jar, they'll put it underneath the mattress, they'll put it anywhere but the bank. Because their family learned, you can't trust the bank. My point being is, where's your trust? You know, around Christmas time, perhaps your family like mine watches It's a Wonderful Life. And the main theme of that movie is people had put their trust in the local savings and loan, and then they wanted to go get their money and they couldn't get it out, right? Created a problem. There's the plot line. But if you put your trust in the things of this world, you will have no peace. Because the world can take it away from you like that. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 says this: Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Who do you trust in? Do you trust in uncertain riches or the living God? You know, in Isaiah 26, sorry, I heard all of your pages turning. I was just going to read the verse for you. You could write it down and check it later. But in Isaiah 26, 3, when it says that when we keep our mind upon Him, what does it give us? It doesn't. We don't get a certain degree of peace. We don't get a high degree of peace. It says we get a perfect peace when our mind is stayed upon Him. And I think that goes in line with, you know, we mentioned Daniel last week, about Daniel going into the lion's den. I just happen to think that Daniel had a perfect peace going in there. Come what may, I serve the living and the true God. If He chooses to spare me, I'm spared. And I have to help these Babylonian kings out a little bit longer. But then if I'm not spared, God will spare me. God will keep my soul. So we get a perfect peace from Him. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And He brings us this peace. So a sound mind is kept in peace because it is the mind of Christ. This mind is not soon shaken. It is not puffed up. It has wisdom and it is not defiled because it is sound. Turn over to Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1. Look down at verse number 15. Titus 1, 15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Here's a plug for Wednesday night. We're studying through the book of Romans. You want to look at the issue of the conscience and the mind, come over and study through the first six chapters of Romans with us and find out what goes on to an unbeliever's mind in rejecting God and what position they wind up in, and how God has to come along and fix it because they've hated Him so. It says, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled. The opposite of a sound mind is a corrupt mind. You ever wondered why over in the book of Revelation, where God says, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth? You know, there is no such thing as a lukewarm mind. It's either sound or it's corrupt. There's really no fence straddling in this. You're either operating properly or you're not. Come over to Colossians chapter number 2. A corrupt mind is one that has a false processor. It's not operating on truth. And therefore, because it's not operating on truth, it doesn't view things properly. You don't have the truth operating properly, and therefore when things come in, whatever means it be, then you don't process it properly. You look around at, look at yourself first, because we're all guilty of it. And then you can look around at your family and your friends, and you see the result of a corrupt mind working in this world. People who make decisions and then they have to live with the consequences of bad decisions, because they didn't filter things through a sound mind. You know, the consequences of operating on a corrupt mind can be lifelong. Even after you've come over to a sound mind, you still bear the consequences of living with a corrupt mind. Now, a corrupt mind, one of the things that it does is it minds the things of the flesh, because the flesh is corrupt. Colossians chapter number 2, and look at verse number 18. Colossians 2:18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his, what? Fleshly mind. You're operating in vanity. What are you doing? Oh, do I look good in the mirror? How nice do I look today, you know? You're minding earthly things, vainly puffed up. Now, by the way, I appreciate you guys trying to make yourself look presentable when you come into the church on Sunday. You know, that's a good thing to do. But how is it that your mind is operating? Is your mind carnally based? Is it fleshly based? Is it looking at things from an earthly perspective of just how I can perform here on earth? What can I do to build bigger barns and build, you know, bigger things here on earth? Is it vainly puffed up? A sound mind has a heavenly spiritual perception. And that's why Paul says in Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. What's the answer to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18? What's the answer to a vain mind, a fleshly mind? The answer Paul gives you, set your affection, chapter 3 verse 2, on things above, not on the things on the earth. Verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Where is your life? And by the way, how is it that he says that you're dead? You're sitting here in a pew this morning, right? You know, you've got a face that you can feel. You're smelling things. Hopefully it smells nice. You feel the temperature. Hopefully it's nice and cool. How is it that he can say that you're dead? Because the moment you believe, your identity is no longer placed in this fleshly body. But in your life, he gives you life, he quickens you. And then he takes your life and hides it with Christ in God, where no one can touch it, no one can take it away from you. Eternal life. all because of what Christ accomplished on the cross has been given to you. And so Paul says, when you go out to live your life, and when you're going out and you're reading the Word of God and you're putting it in your life, the perspective that you should have is not as an earthly purpose trying to just live on the earth and satisfy your flesh and make yourself happy. The perspective that you should have is a heavenly spiritual perspective. Why? For, verse 3, Colossians 3:3. Why, Paul? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. You know what will help you through earthly circumstances? Hope. Not a false hope. Not a maybe-so hope. I'm not talking about the type of hope where someone says, I hope that the weather is nice today. I'm not talking about a hope in the sense of a maybe. The hope that Christ gives to you is a certainty, is a surety. And the hope is just future. It is to come. And it will be realized. And when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. So you live your life in a sound mind, taking what God has said to you, filtering it through that with a heavenly perspective, living your life for Christ, opposing the corrupt mind, not falling for the things of Satan, not operating based upon lies, not letting Satan into you and trying to talk you off of the grace of God that's been given to you, not letting him talk you off of the spiritual benefits that you've been given, not letting him talk you off of the certainty that you have in your salvation, but to live your life out of a love and a sound mind towards your Savior who has done and accomplished all of that for you and walking on that. So that way, as Paul is talking to Timothy here and providing the mechanism by which Timothy can go out and live the ministry and do the ministry, Timothy can live these things in knowing what the truth is. And what Paul tells Timothy, don't be moved off into any other doctrine. When Paul warns Timothy about the false teachers who are going to come into the churches and they're going to teach false doctrine, that Timothy, you can stand sure because you have a sound mind. And where does the sound mind come from? The sound mind is going to come from God's Word working in you. So Tom started off today at the announcement saying, we're Grace Bible Church. Why are we Grace Bible Church? Well, a couple of things you need to know. Salvation is by grace through faith alone. Therefore, we are grace because you need to know that it's not by the works of your flesh that you earn God's favor. It's not by the works of your flesh that save you, nor do they keep you saved. It's simply on the basis of what Christ did for you. He paid the price for your sins. You acknowledge you're a sinner. You trust what Christ did to die for your sins, and He gives you grace. Bible. Why? Because if you want to operate on this sound mind, and if you want to walk a successful Christian life, then you study God's Word. You don't do it by saying, what would Jesus do? And just trying to think in your heart, what would be nice? What is the nice thing to do? Because there's a lot of churches that are loving people to hell today because they don't care enough about their souls to tell them the truth of the gospel. And we're a church. We're a local manifestation of the body of Christ that comes together to talk about the grace of God, to talk about the Word of God, and to share the gospel with others. Sound mind working in us is important. We'll pick up there next week. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And again, we're thankful for your word, which gives us the ability to have a sound mind. We're thankful, Lord, that we don't have to spend our lives as the man that we read about that was in the tombs. But Lord, that we've found you. That we've come into a collision course with the Lord of all creation. And that you've changed our minds. You've changed our hearts. And you've given us a life worth living. We're thankful for that life and for your Son. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.